of people becoming Christians at Louis Palo. Is that how you pronounce his name? And I was just thinking to myself, and I'm sure that I often feel this when I come to Slough, is what are the keys to reach the current generation with the gospel? You know, that was a key at that point in time. But there are keys that the Holy Spirit has for us. Yeah, there are keys that the Holy Spirit has for us, you know, in Slough. What does it mean for Slough? What does it mean for the people that God has called you to reach? What does it mean for you in your workplaces, in your families, in your friendship groups, wherever you find yourselves? And I just want to encourage you again just to ask God what those keys are. For some of you, you may already know what the keys are, and you just need the Holy Spirit to give you some boldness and courage to get the key, unlock the door, as it were. And I would encourage you to do that, because, you know, it's a really powerful thing that you are a church here in Slough, that you're standing here and you're taking the ground. You might be small in number at the moment, but don't underestimate the power in that. Who agrees with me? Yeah? Because the fact that you're here and you're standing and you're pursuing a vision in this place of Slough is a very powerful thing, and I just want to really encourage you in that. It's a powerful thing, and sometimes we don't realise just how powerful it is that we are just standing and continue to stand even through the difficult times as well as the good times. So I want to encourage you in that, but I know that God has more for you here in Slough, and there are some keys that either need to be put in the door and unlocked, or you need to ask God for them to really open up this town with the gospel and the part that you have to play amongst other churches in this town. So I just want to really encourage you in that. But yeah, it's been really encouraging in the worship, the stuff that Paul has been sharing, because it's really in line with what I felt like God wanted to say today. So that's really encouraging. And I just want you to imagine that you are King David, character in the Bible, okay? And you're going through a really, really difficult season in your life, because your son is trying to take your kingdom. He's betraying you. You know, he wants to be the king. So Absalom. And if you think about being in a situation, so you're in the wilderness in Judah. You're fearing for your life. You might lose your job. Okay? You're fearing for your possessions, just everything. Your own son is betraying you, and you're in this really, really desperate situation. Just imagine if that was you, how it would be, the kind of emotions that you'd be feeling. And into that situation, I just want you to turn with me to Psalm 63. So this is a psalm that David wrote while he was in this situation. If you want to read about the situation that I'm talking about, you can read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 16, kind of around there. But Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. That's really amazing psalm, isn't it? For David to be pouring out his heart to God like that in the midst of a really, really terrible, terrible situation. And I was praying about today and asking God, you know, what does he want to say? And I just really felt that I should speak on this psalm. And as I was kind of reading it, I was like, God, what do you want to say through this psalm? And I just felt really clearly that he said, this is the kind of passion I desire. This is the kind of passion I desire. You know, when we read through this psalm, there's just like this amazing passion that David is expressing of his love for God. And God desires that kind of passion from us. So, you know, when Paul was talking about the whole thing of finding our first love again, just so in line with what I was just feeling that the Holy Spirit just wants to do in us this morning, is just stir up a passion, a fresh passion inside of us, that kind of in love feeling with God. Does anyone want some of that? Yeah. So I just want to talk about that. And what time do we end? Okay, 12. 12 or when I finish. I just want to talk about a few things, but I also just want to give time at the end just for us to have some time just to really encounter God, to receive afresh his love, to just express our love to him. So that's kind of where we're going. So in many ways, well, I always feel this when I preach, it's just simple things, but I just really believe that this is something that the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. So I just want to encourage you just to receive what the Holy Spirit is saying into your heart today. So I just want to pray for that. And, you know, you might just want to lift out your hands to the Holy Spirit if that helps you. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you that you are passionate, loving God who wants us to be passionate, loving to you in response. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you here today that you would just stir something up in our hearts. You would stir up that love for you that would just set us free, that passionate love that would do something new in our hearts, that would do something new in this congregation, Lord, that would be infectious to the town of Slough. So yeah, Holy Spirit, we just want to join in with what you're wanting to do here with us today, Lord. And we just welcome you. Amen. Okay, so I've got three simple points. But just, you know, I just encourage you to be receiving from the Holy Spirit as I'm speaking. But, you know, it said about David as well. It says in 1 Samuel 13 verse 14 and again in Acts 13 verse 22. It talks about how that David was a man after God's own heart. You know, that when God was searching for a new king of Israel, he said he sought after a man after his own heart, and he found David. And then it says in Acts about, again, about him being a man after God's own heart, because he would do whatever God will, wants him to, whatever his will is. You know, that's just an amazing thing to be said about someone, a man after God's own heart. And David wasn't a perfect man. Those of us who know the story of David know that he made huge mistakes. But yet, you know, in that he repented, God restored him, and he continued to walk in this loving, passionate relationship with God through lots of very difficult times. But the first point I just want to say is we just have to remind ourselves of this, is that God is a passionate lover. Yeah? God himself is a passionate lover. You know, 1 John 4 verse 16, God is love. Again, simple, just in his very essence, God is love. And you know, if you just want to get you know, really meditate on God as a passionate lover, you just need to read Song of Songs. You know, has everyone read it? Yeah. It's like really full on, but you know, that is just showing us something of this passionate, passionate love that God has for us, his church, for us as individuals, that God wants that to be in the Bible to show us that kind of passionate love that he has. And it's important just to remember, yeah, God, he's a passionate lover. And if someone is loving someone passionately, then they want them to love them back in response. Yeah? You know, it's the most heartbreaking thing when you love someone and they don't love you back in whatever kind of relationship that might be, whether it's family or friends or someone that you're in a relationship with in marriage, or maybe, you know, that's, the love isn't there as it was before. It's heartbreaking, that kind of rejection. And God feels it as well. We're created in his image. He's an passionate lover, and he wants us to love him back. And he wants us to love him back with passion. So yeah, so I encourage you to read Song of Songs and just reflect on that. The second simple point I want to make is that God in his essence is a passionate lover, and he gives that love to us. And, you know, we can see that David obviously had experienced this love, you know, just in different references. So if you look at verse 3, when David is saying, because your loving kindness is better than life. Your loving kindness is better than life. You know, it might be worth us just asking that question, you know. Would we really say that about God's love, that it's better than life? You know, because that's actually what's available to us. But sometimes we almost need to just, we can almost put kind of like defences around ourselves or walls around ourselves that stop us from receiving that level of God's love. It's not that he doesn't want to pour it out on us, because he does. But sometimes we put those things around us that stop us. And what is actually available to us is this love that's better than life, which is an awesome thing. When you think about the world that we live in and the difficulties that we all face on a day-to-day basis, the insecurities that we feel about ourselves, you know, all these things that can be really hard, difficult situations in our family, sickness, you know, things that break our heart, that they can just overwhelm us at times, that some of us may feel like we're just trying to survive. You know, I can't think about being passionate lover to God. I'm just trying to get through the day. And, you know, and that's true. And God knows and he understands that. But even in the midst of all of that, we can experience this if we just let down the walls, let down the defences, and just let him come in, and we can experience that love that's better than life. Sounds good, doesn't it? I'm always looking for more feedback. You know what? Last week, one of the girls in the Journey, the church that she grew up in, was on the television in the morning. I don't know whether any of you heard of it. It was Kingshead Community Church, and they were live on the BBC with their Pentecost service, and it was really great. And as soon as the pastor of that church got up and he said something, they all like cheered, and straight away they all gave that response. And I said to Hannah, is that church like it all the time, or are they just doing it for the television? And she said, yeah, they're always like it. And I was like, how can I get people in the Journey to be like that? Because I'm always like going, don't you think? And then a few people go, yeah. I'm like, I want some like crazy responses. Thanks, Tom. Okay. So, another example how David had experienced God's love. If you look at verse 7, you know, because you have been my help. You know, David knew God as being someone who was there with him in the day-to-day of life, helping him. Again, a simple thing, but it's available to us. Again, we can put those defences around. We can almost like try to play God in our own lives because we think that we need to sort it out ourselves. You know, we feel responsible. We trying to work out how to deal with these issues. But actually, there's a place again for us to let down those defences and let God be our help. And then at the end of the psalm, you know, when David has kind of poured out his love to God, and then he's kind of almost like stirring himself up by saying, yes, God, I know that you're going to sort out my enemies. You're going to do all these things, because he knew God as his deliverer. And so I just wanted to make those simple points to us, just to encourage us to let down those walls and allow ourselves to experience that level of God's love that is available to us, and that he just longs to pour out on us. And, you know, a few months ago, I read a book called God Speaks Your Love Languages. Has anyone heard of it? Has anyone heard of the whole concept of love languages? A few people, not everyone. Okay. So it's the whole thing developed by this guy who's a Christian, and I think he's also a psychologist. And it's the whole thing about how all of us have a primary love language of how we experience love. And if someone isn't expressing love to us in that way, then even though they might be loving us a lot, but we might not feel loved. So, for example, if your love language is words of affirmation, so you like people speaking those kind of words of, you're great, I loved it when you did that, all that kind of stuff, and someone over here, their love language is gifts, and so they express their love to you by giving you lots of presents, but even though you might be grateful for that, but it doesn't really make you feel loved, because you want them to be telling you, you're great, I love this about you, you did that really well. Does that make sense? So it's those kind of things. And there's like five love languages, and they are words of affirmation, service, gifts, quality time, and physical touch. And yeah, if you haven't heard about this, I really recommend you read one of these books, because it's really great. And anyway, but in this book, God Speaks Your Love Languages, it's kind of taking this concept, and it uses different examples through scripture and through people's personal experiences about how God understands this concept, and he knows how to show love to an individual person in the way that they receive it. So if your love languages is words of affirmation, then God's probably going to speak to you a lot. You know, he's probably going to give you prophecies and, you know, really speak to you maybe when you're reading the Bible or whatever, because he knows that that's the way to express his love to you, because that's how you receive it. And they're using other examples of, if someone's like primary love language is physical touch, they're probably the people that when the Holy Spirit is moving and more getting all these kind of physical experiences of it and really feeling moved in those ways and things like that. Does that make sense? And so it's really encouraging to that. So, you know, I just wanted to say that because I found it quite encouraging when I read this book. And that actually, in receiving God's love, God is going to minister his love to you in the way that he knows to you is how you receive love. And I just think that's really amazing, that God knows us that intricately, and he will minister to us in a way that is right for just us. You know, it's going to be different from the next person, but it's just right for us. You know, I remember, just this is an example of it in my own life. Years ago, my sister, she was living in Wales at the time, and she came to stay with me for the weekend, and we watched the film Bridget Jones. Has anyone seen it? And you know the bit in it where Mark Darcy says to her, he says, like, you know, basically he's saying to her, you do all these silly things, but despite it all, I like you just the way you are. And me and my sister were like, oh, that's so nice, I really wish someone said that to me. Anyway, the next day we were going to a Soul Survivor like day thing in Watford, and in the prayer ministry time, someone was praying for me, and she said to me, I just feel like God wants to say to you, he loves you just the way you are. And it was like, wow, that's like amazing. You know, God knew that thing. And for me, like, my love language is definitely words of affirmation. So it's like he ministered his love to me in that way that was really special for me at that time. And it was just like, wow. And I've always remembered it since then. So I just want to encourage you, especially when we kind of have a time, we're just going to be receiving God's love, just let God minister his love to you in the way that, you know, it will touch your heart, because he wants to do that. Okay, so my last point, which is the main point that I just want to explore today, is that God longs to be loved by us back in response to the love he's given to us with passion. He longs to be loved back with passion. And you know, I think, as you know, I felt the Holy Spirit was saying that David loved him with passion. Let's just have a little look at this psalm and see what things we can learn about what it means to love with passion from this psalm. So in verse 1, where it says, early will I seek you. I'm not suggesting that the only way you can love God with passion is to get up early in the morning and seek him, because I know for some people that will just be like, it won't work for you. But the point is that it's actually something about making that time for God. He loves it when we make time for him, you know, and we just hang out with him. You know, just hanging out with him. It's not necessarily with an agenda. It's not necessarily think, right, it's my duty to read my Bible and to pray stuff. I'm not saying that, obviously, it's great to do those things, but I'm talking about the attitude of heart, that God just loves it when we hang out with him. He just loves it. You know, he loves just being with us. He doesn't just love you because you're doing the right things that we may should do as to be a dutiful, as it were, inverted commas, Christian. He just loves just to be with us and to love on us. So, you know, I encourage you, make time for him. You know, David says, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. You know, that deep sense of passion for God. And I just feel so much that God just wants to come and work in our hearts. And you know, when someone is first in a relationship with someone and they're in that in love, loved up thing, and it's all kind of, it's so sweet to see. And suddenly, sometimes it's like they just come alive. And they're like, they're radiating beauty and they love everything. And, you know, everything is wonderful, you know, that kind of stage. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to stir that up in us today, that he wants us to be in that in love, stirred up. Oh, the sky is so beautiful. The chair is wonderful. You know, everything is great because we are in this state of just passionate love with God, and we know that he's in passionate love with us. And I really believe that God just wants us to be like that, that kind of teenage loved up mode. He's wanting us to be in with him today. So yeah. Yeah, so what should we look at now? So yeah, let's look at verse 3. You know, the whole thing about praise and worship to God. My lips shall praise you. In verse 4, I will lift up my hands in your name. Verse 5, my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. You know, that's passionate praise and worship where we're so joyful in it. Yeah, we're just expressing that joyful worship to God. That's just an example of what it looks like. Okay, verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And I just feel that, you know, there's something about when you're in that place, you know that God loves you and you love God, and you're in that place where you are satisfied with his love, that God wants us to be in that place where we are satisfied with his love. We're not looking for the next best thing. We're not thinking, oh, if only this was sorted out, then I'd be okay, or, you know, all that kind of thing. He wants us just to be here right now with him, focused on him, and in his love, and all that that means, we are satisfied. You know, it's just in that place of contentment. We just know, yeah, I've got the best thing here. I've got God in my life. He loves me and I can love him. I can trust him. He's going to carry me through difficult and good times. He has purpose for me. In that place, I can be satisfied. Does anyone want to be satisfied today? Yes? That's what's available for us in God's love. Verse 7. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. You know, I think there's something about us choosing to remain in that place of God's presence, that we're closely following behind him, that, you know, we're staying in the shadow of his wings. If we're in the shadow of his wings, then we're close to him. You know, we're rejoicing in that place, staying close to him. And that's just what God so desires of us, that we choose to position ourselves close in his presence. That's part of what it means to be a passionate lover of God. Okay, well, I just want us to come to a place where we can just receive from God. So I'm just going to sum up just what I've been saying. You know, just believe that this is so much from the Holy Spirit. Although everything I've said is just so simple, I'm sure that any of you could have got up here and said it. But I just really feel that it's something that the Holy Spirit wanted to say to us today, that he just is so desperate for us to love him passionately, because he just knows what can be available in that. He just loves to love on us and receive back love from us. You know, God in his very essence is relational. He chose to limit himself. You know, he chose to give us free choice because he wanted us to choose to love him. He didn't want us to be like robots that were made to love him, because that's not true love. He gave us the choice so we can choose to love him. We can choose how much we love him. We can choose to be those passionate lovers, or we can choose to keep those walls around us and kind of hold back. But we miss out on so much when we try to protect ourselves. you know, because we've been disappointed in the past. And maybe some of us have even been disappointed with God in the past because things haven't quite worked out the way that we wanted to. And, you know, even if we're in that place, God knows and he understands, and he wants to come and deal with those hurts and pains in our lives. But we need to let the walls down, go to that place of God's presence, you know, become those joyful, teenage, loved up people. Because when we do, it's going to change this congregation. You know, this congregation is going to become more and more who God has called you to be. Those loved up, passionate worshippers of him, where it's just more and more spreading out into the streets, into the place of Slough. You know, your little strapline, making Slough happy. Is that right? You know, that is how it's going to happen. It's by that love just blurting out. And I just feel like God wants to just bring such passion and creativity in your worship here as well, just to be free, just to explore that kind of thing. So what I just want us to do, just for the last 5 minutes, or maybe might go longer if the Holy Spirit turns up. yeah, sorry, he is here. I shouldn't say that, really. Yeah. Okay, what we're going to do is, I just want to give us an opportunity to just receive some stuff fresh from God and just respond back to him. So we're going to start off with, do you want to just pass those around? We've got like felt tip pens and crayons, and don't worry, it's going to be okay. Okay, what we're going to do is, I'll just talk you through what we're going to do over these next few minutes so you know. We're going to do a little thing where some of you will already know it if you were here when Stephen and Mara came, where we're going to go where God is and he's going to speak to us, and we're going to draw it on our paper. But don't worry, no one is going to look. This is just between you and God. We're going to, I'll take us through step by step, but we're going to go where God is and he's going to speak to us, show us things, and we're going to draw it. And we're going to have just a time for that. And then, you know, time that some of you might want to write a poem to God or something like that. We're going to have opportunity to do that. And then it'd be really great if we just end then with the song that we sang earlier about the first love. If you can either stay in your seats, if you prefer to like go and sit somewhere else around the room, if that is more comfortable for you, please feel free to do that. Is everyone where they would like to be? You might want to lie down. You don't have to. I just want to give you freedom if you do. You might want to just take a chair and go to another part of the room. Feel free to do that. So is everyone comfortable? Great. So if you just want to close your eyes, and I just want you to go to the place where God is for you right now. So is God above you, below you, behind you, in front of you, to the left of you, or the right of you? Is he all around you, or inside of you? Just go to that place where God is for you right now. When you're in that place where God is, how is it for you? Just enjoy his presence. And as you're in that place where God is, what does he want to give you, show you, or tell you about his love for you? And when you're ready, if you just want to draw that in some form on your paper, either what God's giving you, showing you, or telling you about his love for you. And if you just want to go back to the place where God is for you, and just when you're in that place, what does God want to give you, show you, or tell you about your love for him? So what does he want to give you, show you, or tell you about your love for him? And you might want to just draw that do something that represents that on the other side of your piece of paper. If you're still drawing, feel free to keep going. But does anyone want to share what God showed them or gave them?
He just literally showed me his divine heart. So he told me he'll never fail, his love for me will never die, and he's deep within my heart always. And just give everything up to the Lord.
I won't show you my picture because it's just not one of my strong areas, but the Lord showed me his heart, and he showed me my heart, and he showed me how he wants my heart to be connected to his heart. And as my heart is connected to his heart, he pours out his love upon me. And as he pours his love out on me, a river of love begins to flow between us. And that river actually runs out beyond me to touch the lives of others, into communities, to reach the hurting, to reach the lost, to reach the lonely. So it's just like this flow begins to kind of, that's the picture that he gave me, this flow, this river that is beyond me, because it's not just about me.
Well, I get this really goofy picture the first time around. It's the heart of God, or it's my heart rather, but it's G-O-D. When God is in you, he says, my love for you, my children, is a royal flame. When I live in your heart, the flame is high, princely, and anointed. And then on the other side, as he was looking at my heart, he says, in your heart are many doors, some open, some closed. Open them all to me for healing, redemption, and restoration.
I got a picture of a bowl of fruit. And if you look at a bowl of fruit, it's all different. But he says, but all have my love. And also I put down, my love for you, God, this is what I'm writing to God, my love for you, God, is precious. Nobody can take it away from me. I don't know where I would be without you. The day I first met you changed my life around.
When I came in, I was really staring at the paintings over there because they were so colourful. They really were bright, and I kept staring at them and thinking, just full of energy and vibrancy. And then when we were praying, I noticed the line at the top, you've actually got the letters L, O, and an E, but I couldn't find any V. And I was thinking, well, they're the wrong way round. They haven't even been put in the right place to make the word love. But it was obviously all these things were coming out at me. And that prompted me to remember a chorus I'd written when I was in the church in West Stratons. So it must have been going back about 15 years. And I can only just about remember some of the words. And it's a kind of one that that banging on the beats of a drum. Okay, so I can't do it without putting things down and you've constantly because it kind of and it's got the middle stanza missing, but it goes see you have to have the colours in brilliant nature's resilience to winter's harsh reality. And then there's another verse, the same. And then it goes into God stands in glory over all, creation clothed in majesty. In love and wonder at his feet fall, at one in peace and harmony. And it just reminded me that I used to be in love with God that much. I used to write these things.
Well, I really felt God's love had been shown to me throughout my life for his provision for me. And I've done not drawing isn't my strong point either, but I've done a picture. I'm at the banqueting table of the Lord, and he's provided all these things, and he's just smiling down, apologies to God for the representation there. He's smiling down. He's just saying, come feast with me. And I just think, you know, that's the outward expression of his love. It's all the things that over the years God has provided for me.
Thank you. Yeah, I just thinking how I'm going to say this, really. Thinking about how God's love for me. I kind of got down and started connecting with the Lord and just felt these deep words. It's from a song. And I know it's from him because he put it in there. And it's just like a, he gives you like a cry that you cry out. And it was, and I don't know, it means something to me. And it says, and it was like me crying to him, and it was like his glove was pouring in. He said, don't pass me by. Don't let it pass us by. Let this be the generation, Lord, that lifts up your name to all the world. And I just, it ripped into me, and I felt it's the love of God here, but it's a desire that God puts in that he won't pass me by. That's the sense of this. I felt a reassurance that somehow, as I get older, God won't pass me by. He won't say, oh, well, you're sorry, mate, it's too late for you now. And it was that, just that cry, and I just came all out of nowhere. So God speaks to us in various ways, but that was for me. And I just think, and I felt, I couldn't draw another picture because I thought that kind of goes both ways. It's me crying to him, and it's him crying to me.
Thank you so much, everyone, for sharing. It's really encouraging to hear what God has been saying to each of us. But maybe we can just end off with the first love song. And I'll hand back to Tom.